Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. If this series of podcasts is about preaching, David, why bring up a topic like today's topic, the pastoral prayer?
Well, I need to defend why I brought it up, huh? Okay. Example is not the primary reason you give a pastoral prayer, but people do learn by example. And it may be the only time some people in the congregation ever hear another person pray. So during that pastoral prayer time, there are ways that you can help people understand not only that you're speaking to the God of the universe, but that you are also giving certain examples. For example, I think that we're instructed in Scripture to pray for our leaders, our government leaders. And how that pastor prays for our president will set the tone for how people in the congregation pray for the president. So that's just one illustration. How the pastor prays for the sick will set the tone for how the people in the congregation pray for the sick. Another reason, and most everyone would agree with me, I'm sure, that prayer is a weak area in the church. You can preach a series on prayer, but it's probably not as significant as how people hear you pray. And that's not only in public in the pastoral prayer, but that's how they hear you pray in all different situations. So I think the pastoral prayer is something that needs to be given more attention to. I have found, and I'm not sure this is just from my own experience that is true around the country, but I almost assume that it is, more and more churches are dropping the pastoral prayer. So you can go in the service, and there's not that time when the minister in charge of the congregation is talking to the Lord, and people can hear him or her. In fact, I'm finding in churches that a lot of times there's very little prayer in the service. And most of that is, it follows a certain format, but you don't get this sense of intense communication going on between a leader and the Lord of the congregation. So those are just opening remarks as to why I feel this is an important topic, Dean.
Why do you think those churches have dropped the pastoral prayer from their order of worship?
It's only an opinion, and it's probably an off-the-top-of-my-head opinion, but I think that in reality they don't see prayer as that important. You know, they're not only dropping the pastoral prayer, they've dropped the prayer meetings. Those used to be a staple of the church, but they go on very little. It's probably the impression that prayer doesn't mean that much. I think most of the prayer that goes on is kind of a on-the-run type of prayer. My personal feeling is that my generation was raised under a different kind of thing, where there were all-night prayer meetings, where prayer was a time of groaning. I remember listening to different leaders pray as I was younger. And I had this distinct impression that they knew they were talking to the Lord of the universe. So probably it's just where the day is. It's where the church is. It is not strong in the area of prayer. And there are exceptions, obviously, all around. But the norm is that prayer really isn't that significant today to the church of the Lord in the United States.
It seems like that's part of the symptom of the malaise that's taken over the church and the backsliding condition of much of the church. Matthew Henry, the great Presbyterian pastor of several centuries ago, made the statement, when God intends great mercy for his people, he first of all sets them a-praying.
It was a different feel back then. Today, you know, there are just so many disruptions to the day, it's hard even to find a place of quiet where people can pray. So that, in my mind, becomes very important, that the pastoral prayer is done well. Just to have it there doesn't mean anything, but to do it well and to do it with feeling and to do it in such a way that people are not bored by what is going on. And that means, to some degree, the pastor is thinking this through ahead of time, just like he or she is thinking through the sermon. I personally think that people will learn as much through the pastoral prayer as they will through the sermon. So, and I would say as well that the pastoral prayer and the sermon should be connected in some way. So it's a very important area to me.
A key thought we're trying to communicate in this podcast: ministers would do well to put time into preparing their public prayers, just like they do their sermons. So, David, when we talk about preparing the pastoral prayer, Are we suggesting that a pastoral prayer always be given by writing it out first?
A lot of times, when I go somewhere and I'm asked to do the pastoral prayer, I will write out part of it. I don't write out the whole thing, but I'm very aware of what I'm wanting to say. And in some ways, I'm also aware that it's harder to hold people's attention when their eyes are all closed. So I have to work extra hard, because once you close your eyes, in a sense, you block everything else out, but also, in a sense, you lose a certain focus except for that voice. So I work hard on those things, and I try to, in fact, in the what I call the sound bites, I try oftentimes to include what I call something that's happening in the news that opens up the pastoral prayer for me. I can give you an example of that if you want.
Sure.
This is not a current thing, but it's one of the sound bites that I used some weeks back. I say, Lord, reports say that bookings continue to lag for Carnival Cruise Lines, the largest such company in the world. Carnival is attempting to weather a streak of incidents and complaints from this past year. For example, in February, the ship Carnival Triumph lost power and her passengers were stranded for days at sea in squalid conditions. When public perception is that something isn't functioning the way it should, people drop their support. Well, at this point in time, because it's a prayer, I think I have people's attention. Then I went from there. Maybe that's the case with the church in North America. The drop in overall attendance is because people don't think it's functioning the way it should. Help us, Lord, to not only be open to people's complaints, but to correct things where we can for our sake, but even more so for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom. So that became an introduction, and I'm reading it now without the feeling that I did. But it meant to me that from the very beginning of that prayer, I had people's attention. Mm-hmm. And then I could go from there into the areas where I really wanted to converse with the Lord more. I don't think I have ever scripted the whole pastoral prayer, unless it would be maybe a minute or a minute and a half, because I think a pastoral prayer, probably you're not going to go over 4 or 5 minutes at the very maximum. But if you're conversing with the Lord and you have people's attention and you are conscious in your mind that you're talking to the Lord, they will hear you. And at the end of that time, I don't think you want people to say, that was a very moving pastoral prayer, any more than I want people to say, that was a very moving sermon. It's a good compliment, but I would also like for people to say, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart through your sermon, and I don't think I'll be the same. And I'd like that same kind of feeling to be, the Lord really spoke to my heart when you were talking to him in the pastoral prayer. I appreciated the passion with which you spoke and the things you were saying. There are thoughts that were new to me, but it's the way I want to pray now. So somehow you're not praying the prayer to instruct people. You're praying the prayer to talk with the Lord of the universe. But people are picking up how you do that. The easiest way to teach people to pray in my mind is get them in a room with you and pray with them, you know. Well, in this sense, you have a lot of people who are not really good at praying because most of their prayers are, Lord, this is what I need. And they've missed their confession, which is a part of prayer. You know, they've missed their, Lord, speak to my heart, or Lord, I'm just waiting now in silence as you speak to us as individuals in the congregation about such and such. So they're learning all kinds of things about prayer. What I found, and I think it's because of my experience, but it's also because my experience is probably typical, and I've been in so many different churches. I think the pastoral prayer, for the most part, is fly by the seat of your pants and speak and pray to the Lord about the people who are sick. So it becomes, it's almost a throwaway, and there's very little thought that has gone into it. And that's not what I'm talking about maintaining. What I'm talking about is when I can think back to different people. I could name them. You wouldn't know their names. But when in the middle of the prayer, the minister began to weep because he felt deeply about what he was saying to the Lord. And you almost got the feeling that there was this intimacy that he had that was very beautiful. It's much more professional now with most people. And it's time to not take too long or, you know, whatever. So I'm believing that recapturing the reality of what that is a wonderful teaching time, even as the sermon is. But on top of that, that's not the main reason. It's this time when the people of the congregation say, our leader is talking to God. And that becomes the word I want to use is not the word I'm going to use. It becomes a highlight of the morning. You know, it's just wonderful hearing this man talk to the Lord. that seems to be almost gone now, and it's a very sad thing. So
I wonder if some pastors are reluctant to read prayers, or for that matter, possibly even to read sermons, because there's a sense where they feel read prayers and read sermons are too stilted or too formal. When I wonder if the truth is pastors don't understand the necessity of becoming good readers. Mm-hmm. A significant part of many pastors' sermons is the reading of Scripture. And yet I wonder how many pastors actually practice reading the passage or listen to someone who's a good communicator read Scripture or read a prayer. I believe that I can read a prayer or read a sermon in such a way that a listener wouldn't really know that I was reading it.
Because I think you could.
Coming, yeah. If I've written it from my heart, I can also read it from my heart. I've spent time before God and I've said, Lord, these are the things, for example, in a prayer. I want to talk to you on behalf of the congregation as brothers and sisters in Christ. As we gather today, I want to talk to you about these issues that our church is facing, or these issues that our people are facing, or these issues that our nation is facing, or whatever the subject might be. And I'm trying to write my thoughts to you, Lord, in a way that communicates as effectively as possible the depth that I feel about this in my heart. And then when I read that, because I've read it several times and I've read it and put my heart into the reading of it, it becomes a very real thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not a false thing. It's not a formal thing. It's a way of reaching for excellence in communicating to God, who celebrates excellence, because everything God does is done with excellence, and he wants the very best that we can. That's why when he told the Israelites what he wanted them to bring for sacrifices, it was always the very best.
Yes.
In a sense, our prayers become a sacrifice of praise to God. And so we want to bring our very best, and we want to definitely teach our congregations how to pray, since there seems to be so little prayer today of the kind of deep, intimate conversation with God that we know is important for spiritual formation and spiritual development. I think the soundbite idea is a very helpful thing, because you model how to take particular elements and use them in the prayer. And I just want to mention to our listeners to the podcast that if you haven't found those soundbites, they are available in our weekly newsletter, which you can get on our website. You can also sign up to receive that each week. You'll find those soundbites there from time to time relating to the pastoral prayer as well as other parts of the service. Can there be and should there be a connection between the pastoral prayer and the sermon? You've already alluded that there should be.
I would say yes. You know, I don't think you're just setting up your sermon when you do it. But I've always said that the worship time, or time when you're telling God what you like about him or you're complimenting him, that should have a relationship to what you're going to preach that's coming from him to the congregation. I would almost always center on a given attribute of God, and that's important. It's interesting, if I go back to where you were in terms of written prayers, in a liturgical setting, you can recite the Lord's Prayer as a congregation, and it's just a rote exercise that nobody's paying any attention to, but many have memorized, and others are kind of trying to keep up with the congregation. And I don't think that that has value. It's just a recitation. If people just say the words, that has no meaning. What you have to do is to feel those words. The same thing is true in terms of in a liturgical service when you come to the time of confessional. If you say the words and know them and mean them, that's one thing. If you just say them because it's a part of the function of what goes on, that's no good. I personally, you know, I'm able to express my prayers by writing out thoughts, even in my private time. I pray without a pencil, but most of the time I pray with a pencil. You know, and sometimes I hear the Lord say to me, put the pencil down, just talk, you know. But I can't keep track of all the things I want to pray about without a pencil. And sometimes when I'm praying, the Lord will impress on my heart that I need to call so-and-so, and I'll forget it if I don't write it on the paper. So most of the time I pray at a desk with a pencil and paper, and then at the end of that time I transfer my notes to things I need to do for the day. My wife prays with a pencil. She has notebooks full of prayers like that. Does that mean everybody should? No. You do what is most meaningful to you. And I think sometimes, again, and I literally feel like the Lord says, put the pencil down and just talk. Now, where are you in this matter? And so how to formulate it is difficult. I think if the church errs, it errs on the side of lackadaisical looking at the prayer and needs to put more emphasis on it and more time into planning what is there. So, and part of that planning, again, to go back to what you asked me, is what is it that I feel is important to say to the Lord on behalf of the congregation as to the wonder of who he is that will relate then to the message. If I'm preaching on grace, then I want to say, Lord, you are the most merciful of all gods. I don't deserve, we don't deserve, our people don't deserve, but look at how you have acted toward us, how wonderful this is. So there is that connection, yes, I feel that. And I think people who are at all perceptive, they understand those connections and come to expect those connections. And I think that as a group called Christians around the country, we have become extremely casual in what we're doing, so that we need to put more of ourselves into giving meaning to these forms than we have. I think that we are far too, I use the word lax, I use the word casual, I use the word informal. That's the side we're erring on, and we need to go to the other side. I think that the church could benefit immensely from the prayers that have been written down through the years by real men and women of God, and just to be able to see how they prayed would challenge most people very, I mean, they'd say, wow, that is totally different. You know, they actually feel like the Lord is listening to them, you know, that's kind of a thing. And their prayers are far beyond just, Lord, this is what I need today, or this is what I really wish you would do for me because. So it's a big conversation, and the bottom line in my mind is that the pastoral prayer is far more important than most people have given it credit for being, so do it well, and then some of you who are listening, pull it back into the service, because it's where people are going to learn and make sure that what you're modeling is the right model.
It's an investment in spiritual formation. It's part of driving the people with great love and gentleness toward a wholehearted commitment to Christ.
Yeah, well said.
Part of the discipleship. So we're urging ministers to do well by putting time into preparing their public prayers just like they do with their sermons. We thank you for joining us for this time together. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We hope you look through the resources we have there on the rest of our website. Those resources are there specifically to help pastors, men and women of God, create effective life-transforming sermons and services and spiritual formation experiences for their congregations. And as we always do, with great joy, we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.